This is the Isle of Man talking. The Man in Line.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome along to The Man in Line for this Thursday, the 30th of June, just gone 12:05. Andy's still under the weather. Get well soon, Andy. But it's Alex here for the next hour. It's open line, whatever you'd like to talk about on 66 13 68. You can, of course, text 166 177, but we prefer to talk to you on the phone. A whole host of topics that are in the news that I'm sure will get your opinions coming in. Everything from those pardoned of historical homosexual offences can have their conviction removed from criminal records, the chemist saga in Ramsey, the state of education following COVID. All of these are topics which are open for discussion on the programme today. Also, there's been an update when it comes to Douglas Promenade and the horse trams. Now, thank you to Paul, who sent me a photo saying, this is the new sign that's down at the sea terminal this morning. And he sent me a photo of the new sign of things to see and do in Douglas, according to visitisleofman.com. It's down there, and it labels the Douglas horse trams from the sea terminal, saying you are here, and number three on the list is the Douglas Hall trams, which aren't there. It also mentions the Sale Art Gallery at number four at the Villa Marina Arcade that isn't there either. So, middle of the tourist season, we've got a welcome sign for visitors showing them attractions that aren't there. But, as I said, there is an update on the partially completed horse trams that's been made public on the Department for Infrastructure's website. And they say that, this is on their Facebook page, sorry, good progress has been made in recent weeks with the promenade horse tram tracks and the intention still to operate the services from the end of July. This is only as far as Castlemona Avenue there, just before the roundel at the bottom of Broadway. The tracks and points at Castlemona Avenue have been installed, commissioned and inspected successfully, and the full length of the installed rail track has been checked for correct alignment and tested. Some planned work must still be undertaken prior to commencing passenger services, including the installation of improved signage and commissioning of traffic controls. If you've been down there, you'll notice at the level crossing there are some traffic controls being put in place. Rail preparation and grinding works must also take place and require specialist equipment as well as training regime for the horses who are currently in excellent form. All of these preparatory tasks are currently planned to be undertaken prior to the end of July, and it says that this is, however, a tight timescale and dependent on suitable weather, the performance of the horse team and the availability of staff and plant. Obviously, some good news in terms of the horse trams reappearing on Douglas Promenade. Do we have any news on the reinstatement of the tracks to the sea terminal, which is what Timwald agreed and voted the money on, yet the DOI doesn't have the money to finish it off because it was de-scoped? Without Timwald approval, it was basically put into other areas of the scheme. We look forward to hearing more on that. Thank you very much to Steve, who says he's a UK water standards specialist. Steve has been on referring to the sewage problems when it comes to Laxey and what we're going to do with it, as it were. Hi, Alex. A reference to the up-and-coming debate and memorandum to Timwald members regarding sewage treatment for the bathing areas of Garwick and Laxey. The pipeline pump away for Laxey Bay is actually a cheaper option, says Steve. This is his opinion here. He says that this could be underway now as no planning is required. Is that true? No planning is required? And he says the connection is already there on the majestic coast road. Laxey Bay is very popular and should not be contaminated by grey water discharge from IRBCs. Those are the big tanks, aren't they? IRBCs should only be considered for non-bathing areas. Oh, thank you very much for that. Very kind of you to let us know on that one, Steve. What's your opinion on that situation? It was something that was quite an election issue, wasn't it? Last year in Garth was what to do with the sewage down in Laxey. Because the layman view of the fact that actually Laxey sits up on the top of a valley all the way down to Old Laxey is to effectively let gravity take it all down to near the sea and then in one place treat it. And then, of course, you have the grey water going out to sea. Wasn't a popular scheme wasn't a popular idea. So the other idea is to pump it uphill. Now, is that a greener approach? Bearing in mind the cost of energy, the carbon footprint of energy production, at the moment, our IRIS scheme, which we have invested a huge amount of taxpayers' money in over the years, for those of you who remember Douglas Promenade being dug up for the IRIS tanks, then we've got the connections coming down from Onchan and Port Jack, the pipe that's made its way down North Quay, up over White Ho there, where there were terrible vibration problems with the pumping station there, which, you know, the houses on the other side of the road have now been demolished. They've been gotten rid of. The pipe carries on all the way out on the old Castletown Road out to Miriveg there in order to treat the sewage. We've invested a lot in cleaning up our seas and ensuring that sewage gets treated properly, but it's very dependent on energy. Yes, we collect all of our sewage and then we pump it uphill, okay? And when it comes to energy, let's be honest, that's something that this week on The Man in Line we've been talking a lot about, isn't it? When it came to the wind farms, whether it should be geothermal, whether it should be nuclear, whether we should just bite the bullet and dig up the gas as an interim measure that will allow us to pay for a transition. All of these questions have been coming up, but I suppose sewage also features with it as well. Thank you to Selena. Who says, is complaining about the grammar police when it comes to our adverts. Selena, I will pass that on to our sales department. Let's have a look. Hi, Alex. I wonder what Mr. Thomas would say. I'm presuming you're referring to Chris Thomas, of course, the DOI minister, to the news that Ronald's Way Airport has the second worst record of flight cancellations in the British Isles. Almost 7% of services failed. Come on, Mr. Thomas, tell us what you're going to do about it. That's from Pamela. Thank you, Pamela. Mr. Thomas, if you're listening, you'd like to give us a call on that. I'd love to discuss it with you. We will get our news team onto that for you. Thank you, Pamela. 7% of services failed. Is that the figure? The other interesting thing is, when it comes to the travel industry, and if you hear a politician stand up and say that this service, you know, there was only this number of services cancelled, yes, but it's how... You know, they always say about lies, damn lies and statistics, that these services, what happens if they're delayed for 6 hours? They're not classed as a cancellation, so they won't show up in your stats. But in terms of offering a service, I can't imagine anyone would be particularly happy if you're sat at the airport for over 6 hours. So the question is that when it comes to cancellations, or is it disruptions we should be measuring? Thank you very much, Pamela. Once again, any of these topics, you can give me a call on 66 13 68. Let's have a look. Who else is sending some texts here? And thank you to Tim. I think this is a bit of a tongue-in-cheek comment about politicians. I don't mind challenging politicians, but, you know. Tim says, but bearing in mind the international news story at the moment about whether mothers with babies should be allowed in the House of Commons, Tim says, what if big babies were barred from Timwald, like they have done in the House of Commons? Would they be able to have a sitting without, shall we say, certain members? Thank you, Tim. Okay, I'm moving fancily on from that. Let's have a look. What else have we got? Alex, the Visit Isle of Man sign is good. Okay, it's surely not an error by the department. It proves that the intention is to bring the horse trams to the sea terminal, as approved by Timwald. We can all relax, because democracy is preserved in the Isle of Man. Thank you for that. Alex, it says here, what happens to the tram lines where the tram derailed? It doesn't appear that they are repairing it anytime soon. I've read you the statement that, it's all been tested. It's all ready to go. So any issues they've had, they've obviously fixed. Let's have a look. Terry says, hi, Alex. I think it's very underhand of the government to still be prosecuting non-millionaires for possession or growing their own cannabis whilst actively promoting their own products to be sold elsewhere. This is the debate, the secondary debate that's going to be rearing its head, isn't it? The difference between supplying and legalising medicinal cannabis in as an alternative, effectively, alongside legalising what would you call recreational cannabis. Okay, because they're two very different things. Okay, but thank you, Terry. I'm sure that debate is going to rage on. Here we go. Alex, reference your comments on energy. Here we go. This is from Texter 110. It's actually cheaper to pump sewage to Miriveg than it is to drive the solids in daily tanker collections above the road to Miriveg. Also, the electric pumps can eventually run on the zero-carbon renewables electric, whereas it will be a long time before heavy tankers can operate solely on electricity. That's a good point. When it comes to running things on electricity, of course, we're possibly transferring the carbon footprint, but it's all got to be seen in a bigger picture, isn't it? Because if we're going to reduce our carbon footprint in terms of electricity generation, no problem pumping it uphill. But in terms of the power needed, well, that's something we've got to think about. Now, this is something else that's just come in. Hi, can anyone please tell me if the Manx government give any financial help towards private medical treatment off-island that I require? This is from the texter. I cannot get it done on island due to a 3-year waiting list. It's for a hip replacement. I'm going to have to pay for it myself. Now, if you remember rightly, we did speak, didn't we, back in... I think it was the beginning of the week now, to a gentleman who was from a German medical insurance company. And he said that when it came to waiting lists in Germany, there aren't any. Now, obviously, there's no NHS there. You have to have private medical insurance. But it's a case that in Britain, the NHS is held up as something that's free at the point of need, is the line they use. Well, surely the point of need isn't in 3 years' time. The point of need could be now. This person here says, you know, I require a hip replacement now. I'm having to pay for myself because I don't want to wait in a 3-year waiting list. So the question I'm posing to you is, the NHS, is it still fit for purpose in terms of its funding model? Okay. In terms of it being free at the point of need, us paying national insurance, turning up to a hospital and we need something, but we then have to wait 3 years for an appointment. Okay. Whereas other funding models around the world seem to actually get you seen at the point of where you need to be seen. So what do you think is the better way to go? Do you think we should have private medical insurance, all of us? I'd love to hear your opinion. 66 13 68. And who else have we got here? Oh, Brian. Brian's been on the email about the prom. He says, the crossings on the prom, the ones with Belisha beacons, do not have any zigzag lines like other zebra crossings. Are they legal? Do they conform to the highway code? Now, if anyone knows this, I would love to have some clarification on this, factual clarification, as to whether some of the new, shall we say, design work on the promenade is included in the highway code. Is it legal? Because, yes, we've got crossings without the approach zigzag lines. The roundels, we don't know whether they're roundabouts or junctions, depending on who you speak to. And the road signs themselves are a bit vague, shall we say. So if you know, I'd love to know. 66 13 68. Very quiet on the phones today. If I put you all off, okay, pick up the phone, give me a call. It can be about absolutely anything at all. Now, you've heard in the news this morning on Breakfast that it could take up to 12 weeks for those pardoned of historical homosexual offences to have their conviction removed from their criminal records. The Department of Home Affairs announced yesterday that automatic pardons have been applied to around 30 people who were cautioned or convicted before homosexuality was decriminalised on the Isle of Man 30 years ago. But the process of having that pardon removed from a criminal record still has to be applied for separately. Home Affairs Minister Jane Poole Wilson, MHK, explained more about the process to Beth Espy.
I think I would echo all the words that the Chief Minister gave in his apology, the former Chief Minister, to recognise the unjustness and the impact. And I hope that today those automatic pardons and that ability to apply for disregards to have those historic convictions removed from the criminal record is another way of trying to make amends and to recognise the unjustness of the historic laws.
Do we know how many people this will affect?
It is really difficult to know because of the historic nature of these convictions. So there is a sense that it could be approximately 30 or so, but I'm afraid that's just a sense. Until we receive applications in particular for convictions to be disregarded, we won't really know how many people might seek to apply to have their convictions disregarded.
Just talk us through that process then. What does somebody need to do?
If people want to go to the Department of Home Affairs website, they will find information there, including some guidance. But in essence, it will involve an application to the department. We do have to ask for certain information, including information around identification. And that is simply because this is historic and therefore the records are very historic as well. So certain information has to be provided. Then that will be passed to the constabulary, which is where the records sit, in order that a search can be done. Once those records are found, we can then look at the relevant convictions, and suitable convictions can be disregarded, and that will be a decision by the department.
When the June deadline was announced, there were renewed calls for an apology from the Isle of Man Constabulary. What do you understand about what will happen there?
So I'm really pleased, actually. The Chief Constable has been engaging with a couple of representative groups. So they are the Isle of Man Constabulary Scrutiny Inclusion Group and also Isle of Pride. And I think that's been, or my understanding, I haven't been directly involved, but it's been a really good opportunity for the Chief Constable to hear directly around people's experiences and the hurt they feel. So that process is ongoing, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from those groups and the Chief Constable in due course.
Well, finally, I'm sure many people, Minister, will consider this the end to what was an ugly chapter for the Isle of Man.
I couldn't agree with them more. I think, you know, we did have a very, very dark period, and I'm glad that we are at a point where not only have we changed the law, we've apologised for the unjustness of those laws, and we are pardoning people who I feel were unjustly convicted under those laws.
Jane Poole-Wilson there, the Home Affairs Minister, talking to Beth Espy. Right, we'd still like to have your calls and opinions on this matter or any matter that's in the news at the moment, or anything that may be not in the news you'd like to bring to our attention that maybe we can follow up for you. 66 13 68. Let's have a look when at the... thank you to Andy. Some random suggestions today. Andy says, putting your steam railway enthusiast hat on, is there any plan for fundraising for a new platform station canopy in Douglas? Not that I know of, Andy. That's a one from a bit left field. Thank you for that. If anyone else has an opinion, I mean, it would be lovely to have canopies back over the station in Douglas. I'm not sure it's a top of a government priority list. But let's go to the phone lines. Mr. Quirk. It's been far too quiet without you. How are you, sir? Good afternoon.
Alex Brindley. Quickly, I want to just say, people have been ringing us, about a couple of people on my answer phone. Last couple of days, I didn't know the tape had corrupted. So you get this Mexican jab, jab, jab. So if anybody wants to ring me, just come back. But I wanted to talk about Blackpool. We had a meeting this morning about the Pensioners Club. And I was asking a moment, mature generation than me, and they remember the connections with Blackpool. They remember the race that ran between Blackpool and the Isle of Man on speedboats, helicopters up to Snaefell, remember?
Yep.
All those certain things. And they were saying, why doesn't the government just engage with Blackpool City Council and establish some relationship with them regarding the airport? I know Starboard is... I don't know whether they're still in the picture or the council just got it themselves now. But I'm sure if we offered them some landing slots, parking the planes here overnight at no cost or whatever, and there's a calculation figure of people on the plane, if we reduce that and give some preferential treatment to somebody that came to the Isle of Man, I'm sure the traffic from the Isle of Man, never mind to Blackpool, would be great.
Now, David, now I'm going to put to you what people will say when I say that David Quirk rings the man in line, is that, you know, you've been in power once, you've been in the Department of Transport, okay? These kind of things that we can discuss on this programme sound very easy. So why weren't things like this done when you had the influence in that kind of department? What are the things, the tripwires, that are obviously getting in the way that we're not aware of?
I think the personal thing at the minute, not to demigrate them all, but they're not engaging themselves in political debate. You need to get a subject out there to say whether we're going to do something or other. Like the sewage one, the Irish scheme, it had already started, but politicians, I think it was, I can't remember his name now, was in, he actually, the minister at that time, reviewed Iris, and we came up to having a regional strategy which suited the Isle of Man better. And I do feel for the people in Laxey, and I do feel for the people in Peel. But my view on that, being in the department, looking at all the reports and all the schemes and stuff like that, pumping costs money. Pumping is an onerous task.
Well, let me challenge you there, David. When you say that the regional scheme suited the island better, okay, we've got regional works that have been completed. The system's only partially completed. Yeah. So we still have a problem with sewage water.
It's only Peel.
With Peel. Also, Laxey, you mentioned there, it's not a solution. So the question is, was the original scheme better and would it have actually stopped us pumping out sewage by now? Because at the moment, we're stuck at an impasse. So it's not better, it's not completed.
Well, the issue is regarding the DOI engaging with Peel commissioners and the Garth commissioners and exercising and giving them an insight in what can happen for those particular areas. There's a solution for Peel, and I know there's a solution for Laxey. Laxey may not like, they want to connect to Onken and then could travel it on. But and some on the news it said somebody said it'll cost less. Can't believe that. I cannot believe that. The infrastructure alone, laying a 2-foot, 24-inch diameter pipe, and then having pumping stations at different levels to bring it up to and then pump it on again, going to cost money. But there may be people out there, and I hope that when people do come on, Alex, and when the other presenters are there too, have a different point of view, because at the minute, I only see your program and Manx Radio engaging with the community and lovely feedback I get. When I went to my pensions club, they're having discussions about why don't we go to Blackpool? Why aren't we doing this? Why can't we get in the promenade? You know, why can't the pavements be done? Why can't the roads be done? All needs to be discussed.
Well, you're right. These issues do need to be discussed. In terms of, though, as you say, that Laxey may not like it. We'll use Laxey as an example for a moment. Laxey may not like it, but that's the scheme you think will work. Surely we govern by consensus in a democracy. So there's a degree that actually there are things that don't make economic sense. There are things that actually we want to spend money on that maybe government treasury might turn around and go, this makes no sense. I don't want to do this. But the politician's saying, but the people want this. You know, there's a wooden spinning wheel in Laxey. It's a very big example of something that costs money, but its direct income isn't actually covered. So the question is that surely the people of Laxey, if they don't want to have a sewage treatment works on their beach, and it's more expensive to pump it uphill and get it down to Miri Veg, if they want that, surely we should look at a way of financing that, if that's what the majority want.
Well, that's the issue. How do we finance it? And it's with Treasury, and it becomes a burden on the rates. And then the rating issue, expanding it out a little bit too, when you're in Douglas or Onken, Ramsey, Peel, who play quite a bit of rates, and then you get... I'm not decrying them all. Mm-hmm. In the north of the island, and I know the lady will come on from the north, is there 60 pence in the pound, 50 pence in the pound, 20 pence in the pound? Do you know what I mean? It's not equitable right through the island. And if it was, the argument may be a little bit stronger. But at the end of the day, Treasury have to have an input. Their members have to have an input. Their minister has to have an input. And at the end, it needs to be debated in Timwell for all the pros and cons. And today, and you said the same thing, how did the money that was earmarked to go to the sea terminal disappear? Was that legal? And we're still waiting for Mr. Watson's little group to come back and tell us.
Yeah, we shall wait with bated breath. Thank you very much, David. Great to speak to you.
Bye.
Right. Well, David Quirt there talking about sewage and widening it out generally to other topics when it comes to government spending. We have another David who wants to talk about sewage. This is going to be the topic of the day. Good afternoon, David.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, sir.
Well, the thing of it is...
Oh, just turn your radio down a bit. David, turn your radio down a bit in the background because you echo as if you're in an underground chamber.
The thing of it is, you're all talking about sewage, pumping it to Miri Veg and what have you, and Laxey and Peel and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, how do they cope with it in big towns like Birmingham where it all goes separated in one big building? And we're only talking about 80,000 people here as against probably 50 million in London, and they can put it out to clear water where fish can swim in it.
Well, I mean, when it comes to places like London, they had a terrible sewage problem in the Victorian period, of which the Houses of Parliament used to have massive sheets covered in lime over their windows to prevent the awful stench, and eventually One of the town architect, or the city architect of London, Joseph Bazalgette, built the embankments which collected all the sewage water, and it took it away for treatment. And those are the sewers that are still working. But out on the outskirts of London, they have a massive incinerator for their sewage out there. So I'm not so sure it's the amount. I think our problem on the Isle of Man is possibly that it's across such a wide area, which geographically is challenging with all the hills. I don't think treating it is the problem. It's getting it all together in one place to be treated. I mean, what would your solution be when it comes to the issues that they've got in Laxey and Peel?
Well, I don't know. I haven't got an answer to that, but you haven't got an answer to give me either. Because if they can treat all the sewage of London in one place, how can a little place like the Isle of Man gather it together and treat it without so much cost?
I think the main thing is that nobody particularly wants it effectively in their backyard. I mean, which part of the island are you from, David? Would you like a sewage treatment works just around the corner from you?
No, nobody wants it in their own back garden. I'm in Bildrian and they're all shouting about it there. They want to put it down Black Gall Glen or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's got the answer, but if they've got the answer in these big towns to treat it and do, I don't see how they can treat a little place like the Isle of Man, the sewage, without it costing us thousands and thousands of pounds pumping it round in a circle, like from Balath to Mary Vega somewhere.
Good point. Thank you very much, David, for your call.
You haven't got the answer either, have you?
Oh, crikey.
Nobody seems to have the answer. You're just putting me off, like...
No, I'm not putting you off. Trust me that I'm not the person who needs to have the answer. I'm the person who allows you to air your view about it.
Well, I've done that, and I'm no wiser.
No, well, hopefully someone will be listening who might have an answer, or at least an opinion that would lead to an answer.
A bit of flesh on the bone, as it were.
Yes, I'll look at retraining myself from radio presentation into sewage engineer.
Right here. See you then.
Cheers. Bye, David. Lovely to speak to David there. Yeah, sewage is the thing that, let's be honest, no one wants to talk about. Whether we like it or not, we all produce it. It needs to be treated. It needs to go somewhere. What is the answer on a little island like ours that just always seems to be small enough to be small, but also then too big to deal with some national problems when we have to pump all this stuff all over the place? Roger's going to be talking about that very topic in a moment. First of all, though, of course, next week, it's our national day. You're tuned to Manx Radio's Man in Line. It's at 25 to 1. We'd love to hear you on the phone at 66 13 68 on any topic. We were talking about the promenade. Thank you very much to Jonathan, who's actually gone through the pedestrian crossing section of the Manx Highway Code, and he says it's very clear from looking at the code there are no crossings under Manx road rules that looked like the unmarked ones on the promenade. He says, I'd also like to bring people's attention to any version of the promenade planning application, which is available, obviously, for anyone to see on the government website. It clearly shows that the Church Road Marinda Roundel as a roundabout, and even uses the word roundabout to describe it. I think if you look a little closer at the promenade planning application, you'll notice a number of changes that have basically been snuck in the production of the current promenade. But thank you very much to Jonathan for that. Liz says, how does Venice dispose of its sewage? Sewage is the topic of conversation today, isn't it? Another texter says, have the government brought Garwick House before planning has been approved like they did in Peel? I don't know. Okay, we're not aware of that, but thank you. We will look into it. Roger has been waiting patiently for me on line 3, I think it is. Hello, Roger. No, I bet you I've got Bonzo on. I've picked the wrong phone line. Hello, Bonzo. How are you?
Oh, you have picked the wrong phone
line. I have. Sorry, Roger. I will get to you in a moment. So I knew it was one of the two, and I couldn't remember which one it was.
No. Roger, after you, Roger.
Okay.
Waiting.
Okay. Well, crikey, we're being very polite on the Man in Line this afternoon. There we go. Roger, I apologise. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Apologies accepted.
Thank you.
I've want to talk about Laxey sewage, mm-hmm. and the disposal of the effluent in Laxey. I do think that the residents there want the solution to be for the sewage to be pumped to Onchan and joined in with the Iris network and then onto Mary Veg for treatment by the Central Sewage Works. That already exists and is efficient to about 92%. The solution provided by the MUA that they've come up with relies on something called IRBCs, which is an installation they will put in an unknown location. They say they've got a location earmarked, but they will not name it at the moment. But in fact, that solution involves pumping the raw sewage up to the location and then pumping the resultant effluent from the IRBCs back into the bay. So their solution, the MUA's solution, involves pumping, perhaps not to such great extent, but it involves pumping that my group that I'm involved with, my community group, Best for Laxey Bay, they just say, or we just say, we want it pumped to Mary Veg via Onken because a connection already exists, we believe, in King Edward Bay Road near Gandhi's restaurant. So we just want it pumped into the already existing Iris system, which provides excellent bathing waters and bathing facilities for generally the southern part of the island.
So let me challenge you then on, I'm not challenging on the scheme itself, Roger, but in terms of cost, because the majority of the massive Iris works that we recall, like the storage tanks under Douglas Promenade, the pipe that goes south, the treatment works at works in Peel and Ramsey, these kind of things were installed when money was no object prior to the 2008 VAT bombshell. And whilst we can always put forward arguments that say this is worthwhile, this is something that needs to happen, then we've got to find the money, and that kind of money isn't available anymore. How are we going to finance it?
Well, I think you'll find that the new minister will be coming to July Tynwald to ask for increased resources. And the budget for the new proposal, we believe, is in excess of £40 million, whereas the original costing for Peel and Laxey was £23.5 million. So there's an increase of 72% on the original estimate. So it will be found, and they've got to find it, because this is a basic service that the government should be providing. As you rightly pointed out, mm-hmm. We all produce human waste, and something has got to be done with it, and so that it's dealt with effectively and hygienically.
In terms of the project itself, then, if you we're going down a flight of fantasy to a degree here. Let's do some fantasy planning. If we're going to have it pumped from Laxey to King Edward Bay Road, as you say, by Gandhi's restaurant there, what's the route? Because I think people do forget the huge level of disruption and the amount of inconvenience that was caused when we laid a pipe on Old Castletown Road. And that road, the majority of that road, is the key link on the east coast of the island. So what sort of disruption are we going to have if we're going to be digging it up for years on end, putting pipes underneath it?
Why do you say years on end?
Because that's how long it took to do the southern pipe.
Yes, but this the pipe from Laxey to Onken is in the region of 8 or 9 kilometres. Mm-hmm. It's nowhere near that required for the rest of the Iris construction. So don't over-exaggerate what is required, because it's quite a simple operation. Laying a pipe in underground is not a complicated issue. What will be required are extra pumping stations in order to facilitate the effluent going through to Onken and onto Mary Veg. But there's only 2 pumping stations that would be required in that instance.
Okay, no, I'm deliberately playing devil's advocate with you here, Roger.
Any question you want, Alex.
No, I'm just I'm being cynical about the fact that you think it won't take years to put a simple pipe in the ground, but it took our government 3 years and we still can't get a water slide to work. So, in terms of the ability to do this successfully and at speed without causing huge amounts of disruption and go over budget, we haven't got the greatest track record on the island for that, have we?
No, that's quite right, but This is an absolute necessity.
Mm-hmm.
This has been delayed in Peel and Laxey for many, many years, and it's no fault of the local population that this has happened. It's because, as far as Laxey is concerned, Manx Utilities came up with a crazy scheme of not dealing with the sewage outfalls in Laxey Bay in total, mm-hmm. namely at Laxey and at Garwick, but just came up with a planning proposal for Laxey. Well, that was absolutely ridiculous, and no wonder it was held back by the planning committee and refused by the planning committee, because it was just a crazy idea.
Well, thank you very much for your opinion on that one, Roger. We will see with Ernest what happens when you say funding is sought from Tynwald, and see what the final resolution is. But thanks very much for calling.
Keep your eye on that funding requirement, and we believe it's about at least 70% extra than originally planned. So do keep your eyes on that, Alex. Thank you very much.
We will. Thank you, Roger. Thank you for your call this afternoon. And Bonzo has been waiting very, very patiently, considering I got the... Oh, and Bonzo just disappeared after all that. I can apologise, Bonzo. I was going to put you on air, but Bonzo's disappeared. We'll try and get Bonzo back. We'll give Howard some work to do there. Apologies, Bonzo. I was going to come to you about that. But sewage does seem to be the topic that gets everybody worked up. Thank you very much to Texter 785, who says, it's amazing that with all our technology, we can't solve a sewage problem like the Victorians did using gravity. Now, the Victorians were stunning engineers. I won't, dispute that. However, They weren't exactly the most environmentally friendly engineers, really. In terms of, the Victorians solved the sewage problem with gravity. Yeah, they put a big concrete pipe out into the bay and let it just wash out there. Okay? So, bear that in mind, when it comes to Victorian engineering, they didn't really give the same consideration to the environment as we need to do today. Right, we've got James on the line, and topic is sewage again. Good afternoon, James.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm not so bad, sir. How are you?
In bed with COVID.
Oh, bless. Well, first of all, I hope you get well soon and that second red line disappears.
Yeah. Just briefly, I was listening to what was being said about the sewage. I was under the impression when I went to the meeting in Valdrina about the pipeline, the pipeline they were proposing was to be in the sea round to Onchan, so it wouldn't be in the road, it would be in the sea.
Wow.
And the other thing we discussed there was the pumping, I think they were saying was good for 150 years. And so you've got to equate that to lorries driving up and down, carrying the stuff for 150 years and the price of fuel, wear and tear on the lorries, the number of staff that you've got to employ to look after and service the lorries, blah, blah, blah. I think pumping, it's a much simpler solution. I just don't understand why people can't see it being simple. Once the pipe's laid, it's there. And as I say, it's a sea connection, not a land connection.
Do you think people, when it comes to big projects like this, and it's not limited to sewage projects, it's not limited to you can go out to all different sort of infrastructure projects, and it even is to people when they're doing works in their own home, that actually the false economy, if you look at a big price for something that might last, as you say, decades, or hundreds of years, and you sit there and go, but it's cheaper at the moment to do it this way and then let somebody else in the next generation sort out a long-term solution. Do you think that's what sways people, short-term economics?
The cheapest way to do a job is to do the best job you can. The Victorians proved that. We're still relying on their infrastructure now.
It's a very good point. Fingers crossed, James, that in terms of the solution to this, it's found very shortly. And also, I hope you get well soon.
Thank you.
Cheers. Nice to speak to you, James. Once again, talking about sewage there. Bonzo is finally on. Bonzo, I'm sorry about that. Good afternoon.
Don't worry, you can't silence my wokeness that easily.
I'm glad to hear it. Fire away.
Yes. Just very, very quickly on sewage. Loved your description of the Great Stink, by the way, which was 1857, if my memory serves me right.
It was. Well done.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, well, yes, that A-level history comes in handy sometimes, you know.
Yes, I had to research a video on London many years ago in my former job, and we did a lot on sewage and Joseph Bazalgette, and yeah, it was... I actually visited the plant where they actually do burn the sewage, and there's a very interesting aroma around there.
I bet. Yeah, but as for the answer to sewage, anaerobic digestion and biomass converters.
Oh, right. Okay, so instead of big pumping and solutions and things like this, you want to effectively use
you see. What you do is you pump the sewage into anaerobic digestion plant.
Yep.
Treats the sewage. So gives off methane. Methane then goes to the generators, which then drive the pumps, which pump the thing.
So it's almost like it's a self-sustaining system, is what you're saying?
Absolutely. Perpetual motion, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah. Yeah, the marketing sorts itself out.
Yeah, okay, but to the actual question I was going to ask, I was quite concerned yesterday to hear you in your chat with Kate Lord-Brennan, describing the issue that Max Radio have been having with freedom of information requests. And you mentioned, let me see if I've got this straight, that someone from the Cabinet Office had been in touch with Max Radio to recommend, shall we say, to Manx Radio that it should desist from making FOI requests.
In terms of our relationship normally with comms, it's a case of that my question to Kate Lord-Brennan was more along the lines of that is the communications from government about trying to cover up bad news, or is it a case that it's trying to engage with the public in terms of their media? And in terms of the freedom information requests, we put in obviously a lot of freedom information requests, and eventually it wasn't becoming necessary because they finally managed to put out the details of these politicians' travel costs for away, which of course we've reported on many times. But I think no matter where you go, if you're here or in the UK now, there is a degree of challenge between the free media and governments, with the fact that the government want to get out their news stories and want to get out their positive news stories, and the press want to dig into holding people accountable, because that is, of course, what especially public service broadcasters are there to do in their role.
Yes, but just to clarify, because I've seen the video as well as as listened to the audio, that the conclusion one might have drawn from that is that somebody from Cabinet Office might have, recommended that you cease and desist.
No, we don't cease and desist. We've never been told to cease and desist, because that's not what we do. We will have, shall we say, charged conversations, but we've never been... If you're wanting to suggest that Manx Radio has been muzzled by government, and I know that can sometimes be a popular myth that flies around, it certainly isn't. Otherwise, of course, a lot of stories that you hear on the radio, which the government possibly don't come off in a great light, would never happen.
Oh, well, yes, but as I say, that was... I just want to clarify that because of the way that you were talking about it, it kind of suggested that. And as for freedom of information requests, well, freedom of information requests, as I'm sure you know from the journalistic community, are an extraordinarily dark art. Because freedom of information, strangely enough, in one of those great sort of government contradictions, freedom of information is not about making information freely available.
No, it's about asking if any information is available on this. It's not saying, did this happen? It's whether you have any information, documented information on this occurrence is the question, really.
Well, yes, and indeed, it's like for the listener, if the listener has ever watched Bedazzled, the film with Peter Cook, Dudley Moore, or the remake with Liz Hurley.
I actually have. Oh, wait a minute! Is that the one where Liz Hurley plays the devil?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, right. Okay. Many years ago, yes.
The original is Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. But this sort of loser, the devil comes to them and gets them to sell their soul in exchange for seven wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Every time a person makes a wish, the devil finds a loophole to screw it up. And that's what freedom of information requests are.
Do you know what? You could market them in a very different light, Bonzo. I have to say that. But thank you very much for your call this afternoon. And so just to get you back onto onto the topic we started talking about, you believe that there is more of a green solution for dealing with the sewage as opposed to the idea of pumping it somewhere or having it treated. We should think outside the box a bit more and consider it more like a biomass fuel.
Okay. You know, it can be used therefore as fuel to help with dumping with pumping it, so it can be treated, and then the product of that treatment is used as fuel to drive the generators to make it all pump.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your wokiness is always welcomed, Bonzo.
Okay.
Cheers. Take care. Bye now. That's it. We're nearly out of time. Thank you very much, Bonzo. That is an interesting suggestion. Bearing in mind how much we hear about green politics all the time and green solutions for this in terms of what's going to be the climate agenda, what's going to be our fuel of choice going forward, the price of, old-fashioned fossil fuels at the moment, petrol over £1.80 a litre, things like this. You rarely hear in the sewage argument when it comes to the idea of actually utilising our sewage as part of energy generation. So that's an interesting one. We've heard there whether the pipe is going to be in the water, proposed in the water, to go round from Laxey round to Onchan. If it is, it will need obviously a pump at some point to actually pump it from sea level up to existing pipes. Whether there's going to be a new solution in terms of pipes going through the road to King Edward Bay. And apparently we've got to keep our eyes out for anything such as the money request coming to Tynwald as to how much this is going to cost. Okay, and this is just, at the moment, we're talking about Laxey, Garwick and in the Lonnon area there. Peel itself, of course, is still another solution that we're waiting to hear from. Well, that's it. We're out of time. Thank you to those of you who've called in. Apologies to those of you who texted in and I didn't manage to get to your text. However, as they always promise, I can tell you that we will read every text that comes in, and some of them will go down to our newsroom. And thank you very much to Charles, who's talking about physics when it comes to sorting out the sewage problem. Thank you, Charles. I'll get my head around that. Tomorrow, Barry Redfern sits in on the Man in Line for Andy, and he'll be talking to David Ashford, MHK, the former Treasury and Health Minister. You'll be able to ask your questions to Mr. Ashford on 6613 at 68. Chris Pearson is along this evening with update at 5:30. Up next, it's Christy with 1 to 3. Have a wonderful Thursday, won't you? Ta-da.